He has loved us with an everlasting love, and with tender mercies He has drawn us to Himself. And it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Isn't that true? True repentance is because of the goodness of God. It is grace. It is the grace of repentance. Everything that we receive from God is grace as His children. And the only way that we can function and live abundantly is in His grace. Not in my own performance, but in His grace. Abiding in that place of His grace. Resting in what He has already finished, what He's already accomplished for us. Jesus wrote out the will. He says, it is your Father's good pleasure. It makes your Father very happy to share the kingdom with you. God wants to share His kingdom with us. The will was sealed in the blood of Jesus. The will of God is now in force. Amen? It is active now because the testator, Jesus, has died. Amen? But thank God He didn't just stay in the grave. He rose again. Hallelujah. Victorious. And He's at the right hand of the Father. And so all of the blessings that Jesus received, He wants to share with you and I. Everything that Jesus purchased, He's giving to you and to me. Everything that He purchased, He's sharing with us because we are joint heirs with Christ. Because the will has already been, amen, put in place, in other words, it's under our name. The blessings, the benefits of what Christ purchased for us at Calvary have been placed under our name as sons and daughters through the new birth. If we don't understand that, and if we don't understand the facts of what God has done and what's available to us, then we can't go to the next step, and that is to exercise faith in the promise of God. If we don't, first of all, understand what God has provided for us, then we won't exercise faith to receive that and cause that which is a fact to become an experience for us. God wants us to get beyond the fact to the experience of what He's purchased. To call that in. That which is eternal into the natural, into the now. Not in the sweet by and by pie in the sky, but right here, right now, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus died, hallelujah, the veil in the temple was rent in two, the way into the most holy is open, and now by faith in the blood of Jesus, we can with confidence approach the throne of grace and receive, hallelujah, the inheritance and that which He has made available through His blood. See, it's one thing to have the facts. It's one thing to know what the Bible says and what God promises. It's quite another to experience that. Well, God wants us to go beyond just knowing about Him to knowing Him. He wants us to go beyond just learning about Him to knowing Him. Experiencing God is what it's all about. That's why Jesus died, to reunite us with Him, to bring us back into relationship, into fellowship with the Father, to experience Him and who He is, the reality of this fellowship in the Spirit. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's what Jesus has done for us. And the will, hallelujah, your name, if you're a child of God, your name is on that. All the riches of heaven are yours. We're married to Christ. Come on, when you get married, it's like, hey, everything I have is yours now. It's the way it's supposed to be. It's no longer two, but one. What I have is yours. What you have is mine. We're in this together now. We're one. So everything Jesus has, guess what? It's ours. And Jesus is saying, by faith, you can access. You can come in and you can receive what I already have provided for you through what I did for you. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I haven't been good enough today. Forget about being good enough. It's not about your goodness. It's not what we did. It's what He's done. The devil will beat you down and say, you're not good enough. You're not worthy. But God says you're worthy. God is the one who makes us worthy. Are you with me? It's by the blood we can enter into His presence. It's by the blood of Jesus, amen, that we've been set apart unto Him as sons and daughters with full access and with confidence into this grace in which we stand. Everything that we have need of, amen, all the strength that we need is there. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And He's given us access by faith. Hebrews 9:16, now when someone leaves a will, it is necessary to prove that the person who made it is dead. The will goes into effect only after the person's death. While the person who made it is still alive, the will cannot be put into effect. In verse 28, so also Christ died once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who eagerly are waiting for Him. So what is a will? It is a promise of an inheritance to those who receive it. But folks, you've got to hear this. The veil was rent in two upon the death of the testator, Jesus. It's now in effect. If we don't get this, then we'll live in survival mode. And wait for the rapture. God, get me out of here. He's saying, I don't want to take you out of here. I want you to shine here. You're the light of the world now. Go in my name. Represent me. All you need is in me. Do you need power? Come on, we're joint heirs. We've got access. Come before His presence with thanksgiving and singing. Amen. And praise His name. Hallelujah. Be filled with all who He is. Jesus, all He's promised has been placed under our name. In the New Living Translation in Luke 12:31, Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. You got to get this. Above all else. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Amen. With all the stuff and the things that we get tied up in and wrapped up in this world, He's saying, seek the kingdom above everything else. Why do you worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat and about the future? And why are you stressing out about who cares what's going on in CNN? Our kingdom is not of this world. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is not our home. We are living in the new kingdom. Amen. We are citizens of heaven. So seek the kingdom of God above everything else. That's your life in Christ. It's your life now. And when you seek Him, then everything you have need of, He'll take care of those things. They'll be added unto you as well. The fact is, God has everything we need. But the way to receive it is to seek His kingdom above all else. You see, to have an inheritance is one thing, but to enjoy the inheritance is quite another. God wants you and I to enjoy what He's purchased for us. We don't have to stand outside and beg. Are you a son? Are you a daughter? Are you born again? Is Christ in you? Then you have access. Simply by faith, I believe what He has done for me. I receive that reality. And with confidence, I come before my Father. I don't come with a list of all the good things I've done and say, God, look what I've done. I come in confidence because Jesus has paved the way for me, and He, by His blood, has covered me and qualified me to come before the Father without guilt or shame and to make my petitions known to my Father. My Father knows what I have need of before I even ask. So don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about anything. Amen. Live above that. Live in the realm of the Spirit. Live for the kingdom. And the peace of God will keep you. He'll guard your heart, your mind. When you find yourself stressing out about stuff, it means that you're not going deep in the Spirit. Amen. You got to go into the Spirit. And you need to receive the grace there. Hallelujah. In His presence there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's a reality. And it's a right now reality because the will is in effect. Thank you, Father, for Your promise to us. He's a promise keeper, you know. And it's not because of anything we've done, folks. As soon as you get into the place of what I've done, somehow deserving, now you're in wages. Now you're works in works. Faith is you and I acknowledging that what God has said and done is true. I believe what He has done and I believe what He says. That's faith. But folks, listen, faith by itself cannot save you. Faith by itself cannot help you. Hebrews 11:1 in New Living Translation. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. I believe that what God promised, He will give me. I believe it. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. So my faith, again, is the second stage here. It's the facts. I understand what God has done. And now I am believing that what He has done for me is for me. It's available to me. But what we need to do is we need to go even from there, amen, to the experience of the thing. It's not enough just to know and even to have faith. But the faith is the way. It's like cashing in. You can have money in your bank account. It can be a fact that there's money there. But faith is you and I making the withdrawal.
Yeah, that's right.
The experience is you and I enjoying the benefits of the withdrawal. It's not enough just to make the withdrawal. Are you with me? Sometimes we're asking and praying for God to do things and God has released it already in the Spirit, but we haven't actually turned it into an experience yet. Why? Because God always gives us a step of obedience with a promise. He'll always give us an instruction, something that we must do. Faith without an action is dead. That's what James is saying. I'll show you my faith by what I do. It's not enough to talk about, sing about, preach about, learn about faith. It's a matter of, am I experiencing the promises of God in my now, in my reality? God wants that eternal reality to become manifest now in this place. He wants His kingdom to come and His will to be done where? On earth. He wants, as it is in heaven, to come where? To earth. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. When Jesus comes, he shall rule over all the earth. Amen. He's going to come in clouds of glory. Every eye is going to see him. And all the nations shall be gathered before him. And he shall separate the sheep from the goats. The day is coming when he will literally return. Just as he went into heaven, he's coming again. Are you with me? But in the meantime, he has given his church, hallelujah, the access to his throne so that we may now be bringing into this realm what is eternal. We are in the spirit of Elijah. We are the ones that are heralding the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. And as you go, say the kingdom of heaven is what? In the by and by? No, it is here. It is among you. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Freely you received. Freely give. When Jesus walked with his disciples, they were in his authority. And he delegated. When he went to the Father, he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be my witnesses. You will continue to do the works that I began to do. And you will be the heralds. You will be the ones that are witnessing the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Amen. That he is a living God. That he is alive. Hallelujah. And that the devil is defeated. So what he told Joshua, he said, every place where the soles of your feet trod, I've given you. But you've got to walk it out. You've got to cause that promise, that fact that I told you, I'm giving you the land. Amen? By faith, you need to cash in on that. And it becomes the experience when you begin to obey me and do what I tell you to do.
Right. Amen.
See, there were others who had heard the same promise, but they didn't believe that it was possible because they looked at it with natural understanding. There's giants in the land. We can't do this. Do you know that what God calls you to do, you can't do? That's exactly the point. You can't do what God calls you to do. It's going to be done because the power of God is in you and upon you. Amen? God is going to work through us in supernatural ways. But the key here, once again, is to seek the kingdom of God above everything else. If we cannot get that one point, then our walk is in vain. Folks, do you hear it? If we do not seek the kingdom of God above everything else, our walk is in vain. Do you want your fruit unto eternal life? Then seek the kingdom of God above everything else. Do you want to please the Father? Then seek the kingdom of God above everything else. Do you want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? Then seek the kingdom of God above everything else. In other words, let your affections be on things above where Christ is seated. Amen? You have been raised up with Christ and seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's not in the sweet by and by. That is now in Christ. The reality, the fact is, we've been seated with Christ. We, by faith, need to access, amen, what is already freely given and bring him into the now so the people will see that God is alive. Hallelujah. We're not talking about blind faith, superstition. It might be true. How many know that when Elijah was on the mountain, it wasn't a matter of, well, that's a neat theory. I never heard that before. We said, let the God who answers by fire be the true God. Amen. And there was a showdown, and the prophets of Baal, amen, were defeated because Elijah believed God, and he called that which was invisible into the visible. God is calling us in the spirit of Elijah to move in the spirit of power and in boldness to declare the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when you speak what God tells you to speak, God will manifest Himself. God will confirm His word with accompanying signs. And what do? Signs point to someone. They point to Jesus, not to the messenger. And if people are doing signs because they want to be seen, come on. It's impure. We must move beyond just knowing and believing to receiving what God promises. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him. We have received all of this by coming to know Him. The difference between knowing about and knowing Him. Fact, He exists. James said, yes, even the devils believe He exists, but they tremble. Are you with me? You got to go beyond just an intellectual assent that God is there. He's the man upstairs. He's the big one, you know. No, you got to go beyond that to knowing that not only does He exist, but He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption by human desires. How many know that Peter was writing to those who had been born again, those who were heirs, those who were brought into the family of God? Hey, folks, just because you've had a bad day, just because you've blown it, just because you've stumbled and you've fallen, that doesn't mean you're no longer a child of God. You just need to get back up. Amen. Get back on your feet and get reconnected with the Father and His purpose and His will for your life. Because God has made everything that we have need of available to us. Do you know that God has made it possible for you and I to not fall? Do you know God has made it possible for us to enjoy His victory? The victory that He won? Why? Because the will is in effect. Because we've been given access to all that we have need of is in Him. All the riches of heaven are available to His people. Why? Because we're married to Jesus. Everything He has is mine. Everything I have. Who's getting the better end of the deal? How many know that God doesn't need anything from us because everything that we have is what He gave us anyways? But He does look at the heart. He does look at the motive of why we give, why we love, why we serve, why we do. Because whatever we do in word and deed, we're doing what unto Him. We do it to God and not to man. We love one another, yes, but when we love one another, we're loving the one we don't see. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because people don't understand what is available to them. Even Christians, because they don't understand the facts of what Jesus has really done for us, what He has accomplished for us, what He's made available to us freely through the cross. If we don't understand that fact, those facts, okay, then we're going to be defeated because it's in the lack of our understanding or where we're ignorant, the enemy can mess us up. The devil wants us to live as paupers. Here we are, citizens of the King, and he wants us to live as paupers, spiritually speaking. Are you with me? There's no excuse for a child of God to be starving spiritually, to be thirsty spiritually, when God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I like what Brother Graydon was talking about staying in the zone. Let the worship, let it be continually around you. Also in your own heart, making melody, singing unto the Lord. communing with the Lord, spending time soaking, word washing, soaking in the Word. Stay in the zone, as we say. God has united you with Christ Jesus. Folks, because of our union in Christ, we have everything that belongs to Him by inheritance. Because as long as the testator lives, the will, amen, it may be written up, but it's not in effect. But Christ has died for our sins. He has made available to us forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If people don't hear the message, they don't know what God has accomplished for them. They don't know that there's forgiveness of sins. I was amazed at how open people were in India just to hear the message that there's forgiveness, that they don't have to go through some ritual, that they simply need to come to God, accept what He's done for them, call upon Him, and receive His forgiveness. They didn't have to earn it, because it's impossible for us to earn what only He can do. Only He was able to fulfill our righteousness and become our sacrifice. I shared this morning from Luke 15:25. That's the story of the prodigal son. Most of us are very familiar about the son who took his father's goods and he left his father's house and he went into the world and he wasted everything that he had. And he was busted and broken and disgusted and down in the hog pen eating the hog food. And he came to his senses and he came back to the father, and the father was there waiting for him with his arms wide open and say, "Son, I've been waiting for you." And the older brother became angry because they say, "We're going to kill the fatted calf and we're going to have a feast. We're going to have a party because this, my son, was lost but now is found, was dead and is alive again. We're going to have a celebration." And the older brother was there and he said, "Father, how come you never did anything like that for me?" And what did Jesus say? He said, "Son, you've been with me all along. Everything that I have is yours. You want a fatted calf? Everything is yours." Wow. Okay, I mean, sometimes it's hard to get my mind around some of this stuff too, you know? It's like my mind has to catch up sometimes to what God is doing. Act often. It has to come under authority, right? But I'm not always wrapping my head around it, and sometimes God is stretching me. You know, in fact, He is stretching me all the time. I'm growing too, right along with you. But God is saying, "Listen, are you a son? Are you a daughter? Then you have access to everything I have because you're mine." So if one of our brothers or sisters falls off the wagon or drifts away or stumbles along the way and they come back home, we should be celebrating. Thank God you're home. Hallelujah. And in the meantime, we didn't have to live like paupers because we're there. Everything we have need of, He gives us. I didn't say everything we want. Everything we need. He's a wise father. And there are certain things that you're going to have to wait for till you're ready for it. We need to understand God's ways. But we also understand if we are His people, it's not because of anything we did, but it's because of what He did. And because of what He did, and because we are heirs to the throne, that's what the Word of God says. Join heirs with Jesus, then everything that He accomplished, everything that He has received, amen, as a result of His investing Himself as a corn of wheat that fell to the ground and died, is now coming into fruition, amen, even still. The grace of God is abounding right now. And as children of God, we also can enter into the same hallelujah inheritance, the same blessings that Jesus received. Do you know that's how much Jesus loves you? He wants to share with us. He even prayed in John 17, Father, I want them to share the glory. Amen. That I had with you. Oh, we get scared about that glory thing. Do you know he that's the whole purpose. He wants us to share in his glory. Read it. Read John 17. Read the prayer. That's why he went to the cross. So we could be restored in our right place. Amen. We're in a right relationship with our Father again as sons and daughters, joint heirs, recipients of all the blessings of the kingdom. And not because of anything we've done. Not because we're good, but because God is good. When we live in a world that's based upon performance, based upon wages, you know, you got to earn this, you got to earn that. It's hard for us sometimes to grasp the concept of just walking and receiving what God has done for us, somebody else did for us. But the only way to be saved is to receive what God has done for us. Anyone who will save his life will lose it. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. You were buried with Christ in baptism. You were raised with Christ. When Jesus died, then it says that all died. When he rose, then we what? We rose with him. Ephesians 2 tells us that he has raised us up together with Christ. Not in the sweet by and by, but now. And the devil does not want people to know who they are. He does not want us to know what God has freely made available to us in Christ. He doesn't want us to understand that, yes, God has given us a lofty position in Christ. He has raised us up together with him. The devil is threatened by people who know who they are. He's threatened by people who know the grace that is available to them. Because as long as we live as paupers, he can continue to beat us up. God has provided a banquet for us. And unfortunately, many will just sit there and watch it. Say, wouldn't it be nice? God's saying, eat, drink, be merry. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight in him. Seek the kingdom of God above everything else. If that is our pursuit, is the heart of God, the will of God, then everything else, folks, is going to be taken care of. And you're not going to have to pop Tums. And I know about the hair thing, it's too late for that. But are you with me? You're not going to lay awake at night stressed out, because there is a secret place of the Most High where we can go when we can find all that we have need of. It's in his presence. That's where I belong. In your presence, O Lord, my God, in your presence. That's when I am strong. In my weakness is his strength. It's not me having the willpower to live for God. It's me denying myself, taking up my cross and following Jesus, seeking the kingdom of heaven, his agenda, his purpose, his will above everything else. And when I put him first in my life, then he says, I'll take care of the rest of that stuff. You're not even going to have to worry about it. You don't have to lay awake at night wondering how you're going to do it. Even if you are lacking of something right now, you can find supernatural peace in the presence of God. And the problems that seem so big to you right now are going to shrink. Sometimes we think we're looking at a mountain, it's only a molehill. But if we don't see through his eyes, it looks like a mountain. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. You know when you're born again. Verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's the Word of God. How many know that what you sit under, what you listen, and what you believe will affect your life? If you are listening to bad theology, it can mess you up. There's a theology of helplessness. There's a theology of that where we're just kind of like hanging on and just hoping for the rapture any time now. We're like an IV drip or something, you know? Just surviving until we can get through the pearly gates. And you know what? God didn't save us just to take us to heaven. He came that we might have life and life more abundant. When? Now. Now the kingdom is among you. Now the kingdom is at hand. Now is the time of the inheritance that is freely given to those of us who are heirs. Because the testator has died and the will is now in effect and your name is on the will. Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. I love this stuff. Because it's true. Oh, the devil hates it when people talk this way. Why? He's a thief. He wants to rob you of your inheritance. He wants to rob you of your joy and your peace. He just wants to take, doesn't he? You can't listen to him. He tells lies. Just listen to what God says. Listen to His voice. The Lord has left us a will. This will is now in effect. So what we need to do is we need to come to Him and we need to make the withdrawal. Make the withdrawal, folks, by faith. So that the fact, the promise, becomes your reality, your experience. Christianity is not learning facts. It's not learning history. It's not learning about God. It's experiencing God. That is the true Christian life. Amen. It is a life of power. It is a life of victory. It is an overcoming life. When I realize it's not of me, it's not in me, I can't save myself. I can't keep myself straight, folks. I've tried it. You can't either. It's by the grace of God. It's by the power of God that you can stand. So you've got to come, amen, to the heavenly throne of God, our Father, amen. And we need to make the withdrawal. We need to come boldly before the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us. If we will receive, if we will withdraw from that which is freely given to us, you will never fall. You will never fall. You don't have to fall. You have everything you have need of already, freely given in Christ. All the grace that you need is there. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is yours now. Come on, Jesus didn't purchase us just to let us flounder here and struggle. I talk to some people, I say, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? Oh, I'm struggling. Every time I talk to them, I'm struggling. Well, quit struggling. Get out of the seat. Get out of the driver's seat, as they say, you know. He does a better job. His power, His grace is available for you to overcome the world. How? Even our faith. By accessing, drawing, hallelujah, from the grace of God in my daily walk. Amen, brother? Soaking in the Word, soaking in worship. Soaking in the presence through communion in my heart with the Lord. Beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, Jude 20, praying in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. As you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the deeds of the body. Amen. The misdeeds. You won't serve your sin nature. Let us come with confidence. If you need salvation, when I used to do a prison ministry, I used to bring my 12 string out there, and I'd bang around on that 12 string, and we used to do this thing, and we'd sit in a circle, and we had this one song. Some of you probably remember it. If you need salvation, tell him what you want. Right? Anybody heard that one? I see that hand. Yeah. If you need salvation, and so we get going with this thing, and then we say, someone will point to somebody, and they'll say, "If you want the victory, tell him what you want." You know, and it was amazing what people would come up, and it was, you know, if you need peace of mind, if you need healing, tell him what you want. He's got everything that you have need of. It's all there. It's in the will. It's freely given, without costs, without price. We don't earn it. We receive it by faith. Call it in. Thank you, Jesus. When we pray before these services, we're praying, "Oh God, let your glory come." We're calling that, amen, the heaven to come. Let heaven come down in this place. Let your glory come down in this place and touch every heart and every life. And you know, God is so faithful to that. People, they come through these doors and they just said, "You know, I just feel something about this place. It's just something different about this. You know, it's like walking into liquid love," or, you know, it's amazing, but it's God's presence. And it's because there's a people here who not only realize there's an open heaven, but they've got an open heart to receive. And because we're open, God's going to show up where he's welcome. Hallelujah. There is salvation, and there is healing, and there is deliverance now available. God's trying to teach us how to trust, how to lean, how to receive what he's done. Amen? Again, it's not earning. It's not working for. It's receiving. A tree, once again, I'm done, bears fruit because it abides in the right place. As you abide in Christ, you will bear fruit. And you don't have to fight it or force it. Just worship God in spirit. Worship him in the Holy of Holies. Come before his presence, amen, with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Everything that we have need of. Hallelujah. How many are hungry? And the Spirit and the bride say, "And let him who hears say, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him what? Take of the water of life freely."